Chapter 5. When here is there and then is now. Jumping time and space in the matrix. The poet Henry Van Dyke described the irony of our relationship to time in words that have remained long after his death early in the 20th century. "Time is too slow for those who wait," he began. "It's too swift for those who fear, too long for those who grieve, too short for those who rejoice. But for those who love, time is an eternity." Well, true to Van Dyke's words, time is perhaps the most elusive of all human experiences. We can't capture it or photograph it. Contrary to what daylight savings would seem to imply, it's impossible to gather time in one place only to use it later in another place. When we do attempt to describe the meaning of time in our lives, we're left to use words that gauge time in a relative sense. We say that something happened then in the past, or that it's happening now in the present, or it will happen at some point in the future. The only way we can describe time, it seems, is through the things that happen within that time. Until the 20th century in the Western world, time was typically thought of in a poetic sense as an artifact of human experience. Philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre described our relationship with time as what he called a special kind of separation, a division that reunites. But that poetic view changed in 1905 when Einstein published his theory of relativity. Before relativity, time was believed to be its own experience, separate from the three dimensions of height, length, and width that define space. In his theory, however, Einstein said time and space are intimately entwined and cannot be separated. "It's time and space together," he said, "that forms a realm beyond our familiar three-dimensional experience," what he called the fourth dimension. Suddenly, time became more than a casual philosophical concept. It was a force to reckon with. In words that brought new meaning to our perception of time, Einstein described its mysterious nature by simply stating the obvious. He said, quote, "The distinction between past, present, and future is only a stubbornly persistent illusion," end of quote. With these powerful words, Einstein forever changed the way we think of our relationship with time. Just consider the implications. If the past and the future are present in this moment, can we communicate with them? Can we travel in time? Well, even before Einstein's bold statements, the possibilities that this question poses intrigued scientists, mystics, and writers. From hidden temples in Egypt dedicated to the experience of time, to the thrill of H.G. Wells' 1895 classic novel, The Time Machine, the prospect of having the ability to hitch a ride somehow on the flow of time has captured our imaginations and our dreams. Our fascination with time is as old as our existence, and our questions about time seem endless. Is it real? Does it exist without us? Is there something about consciousness that gives time its meaning? And if so, do we have the power or the right to interrupt the forward flow of time long enough to glimpse the future, perhaps even to visit and communicate with people in the past? Can we communicate with other realms and even other worlds in which we share the present? Well, in light of accounts such as the one that follows, the boundary between here and there becomes less clear, and it invites us to reconsider just what time really means in our lives. A message from beyond time. In Jutta Halberstam and Judith Leventhal's powerful book, Small Miracles, Extraordinary Coincidences from Everyday Life, they share an amazing story of the power of forgiveness. And while I've done my very best to capture the essence of this awe-inspiring account, I do encourage you to experience it in its entirety through the original text. But what makes this story so interesting, and the reason I offer it here, is that in this case, forgiveness is so powerful that it even transcends time. It's the story of a young Jewish boy named Joey and the relationship that he had with his father that transcended even death. Joey and his father had not spoken since he turned 19. It was at that time that Joey began to question his family's traditional Jewish beliefs. To his father, there could be no greater disgrace than for his son to question such a time-honored philosophy. So he threatened to end his relationship with his son unless Joey accepted his traditional roots and stopped the questioning. Joey found that he couldn't meet his father's demands, so he left home to explore the world on his own, and he and his father never spoke again. Well, it was in a small cafe in India when a friend found Joey and shared the news of his father's death. This was the first time that Joey knew of his father's passing. He immediately returned home and he began to explore his Jewish roots and his father's friends. Deeply moved by new insights into his heritage and his father's life, Joey soon found himself making plans for a personal pilgrimage to the land where the roots of his family's traditions began. He was on his way to Israel. This is where the story takes a deep and mystical turn and offers us insight into the power of the divine matrix. Joey found himself at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. This is the portion of an ancient temple wall that remains following its destruction nearly 2,000 years ago. And it's here that Orthodox Jews go to pray every day, repeating the same words of the same prayers that have been spoken for centuries. Joey had written a note to his father, declaring his love and asking forgiveness for the pain that he'd caused in his family. Well, following the custom, he'd planned to leave his note in one of the many cracks and crevices that were formed when the original mortar fell away from between the stones. It was when he found just the right place to leave his note that something amazing happened, something that has no rational explanation in the eyes of traditional Western science. As Joey placed his note into the wall, another paper suddenly fell from its place between the stones. It was a prayer that someone else had written and placed in precisely the same location in the wall days or possibly even months before. The prayer landed at Joey's feet, and as he reached for the rolled-up note, an odd feeling came over him. As he opened the note and began to read its contents, he recognized the handwriting. It was his father's. The note in his hand was the one that Joey's father had written and left in the wall before his death. In it, he had declared his love for his son and he'd asked God for forgiveness. And at some time in the not-too-distant past, Joey's father had traveled to precisely the place where Joey found himself in that moment. And in an ironic twist of synchronicity, he had placed his prayer in precisely the location within the wall where it remained until the day that Joey walked by. What a powerful story. How could such an extraordinary thing have happened? Obviously, there must be some kind of communication happening between realities and worlds. Joey lives in the realm of the present that we call our world, and although his father is no longer alive, traditional Judaism presumes that he still exists in another realm, in heaven, which lies beyond our world. In the traditions, both realms are believed to coexist in the present and to be in communication with one another. So while the mechanics of precisely how Joey's father communicated with him may remain a mystery, one thing is certain. For Joey to receive an indication that his father still exists, there must be something that connects both of them, some medium that provides the container for both realms of experience. The divine matrix is that medium. It fits the description of the place that the ancient Jews called heaven, the home of the soul that is the container for the past, the present, and the future. Through the bridge of the divine matrix, something beautiful and precious transpired between Joey and his father that day. Transcending time, space, and in this story, even life and death, a communication occurred that brought healing and completion between a father and his son. We must look even deeper into our relationship with the space that creates here and there, and the time that allows for then and now to understand how it happened and why.